good friends, but not anymore. And so I know why the church is so good. He never preaches here. So seriously, do you want to go there, brother? I apologize. Yeah, I quit. As long as I keep the love offering, I'm out of here. Come on. Young, it's good to see you. I was going to say he stole my thunder just a little bit, but they served the Lord with Direct Line Ministry many years ago, and he was one of the first guys that we met, and we didn't get to stay together very much, but the time we were together, he was such a blessing, and I had a good time. They even took us over to their house, and we ate one night. I don't know if you remember all that, and it was good. Nobody got sick, and it was a blessing, and I'm just kidding you. We all got sick, and so I'm just kidding you. I apologize. You started it. It's his fault. And I'm like that. And I'm the most how many of you are kind of like ornery? Would you raise your hand? I fit right in, man. I battle it. I really do. The Bible talks about foolish jesting, you know. It's not foolish if it's good. Amen. And but anyway, thank you, church, for doing that. Now, let me just tell you just real quick, and I'm going to honor the time. Pastor said you've never been here past 10:30, and so we're going to honor that tonight. I'm just kidding you. Yeah, he said 8 o'clock. After that, the lights start turning out, so we'll work it out. Let me just tell you real quick. On the back table, there's a couple things. If you'd like to sign up for one of our emails, I'd love for you to do that. We try to do it monthly, and then also we send videos, different things like that. There's a Joy Bag brochure that you can pick up and look at. And it tells the details on there. And I know some of you are already doing those. And you can ask the folks that are already doing it. But these are great. So he asked, preacher, I mentioned about the cost. What we do, typically, a typical Joy Bag will be about $16 to put together in the United States. You can also go online if you have a burden for Mexico. I talk fast. I'll try to slow down a little bit. But if you'd like to do that, we are actually going to put them together in Mexico this year. The first time we've ever done anything like this. We have property in Saltillo, Mexico, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But what we're doing is, if you'd like to go online and do that, you can build one online. They're a little bit more. They're about $23 online just because the price difference from Mexico to United States. We ask that you put, along with that, $6 with these bags. And the reason why is because we ship them for that. You couldn't ship one Joy Bag to Honduras for $6. You couldn't do it. I can, but you couldn't do it. We have distributors and folks we work with all over Miami and different places to get them there. But that Joy Bag would cost you about $40 to get there, and it may or may not get there. And so we can do that because we do it in bulk, and we've been doing it for several years. So that's why that's there, is the cost of that. We don't keep that for any other reason than working with Joy Bags and all that goes on with those Joy Bags. Also, I want to mention to you on the back table, there is there's a brochure. This is a new one now. So this is our Saltillo ministry there in Saltillo, Mexico, and we have property there. There's a place there where we're going to begin to work with church planters in Mexico. We're going to be doing some interns for and teaching and training there. Brother Tim Card is going to lead that, and that's going to be such a blessing. I hope you'll take time to look at that. Just a couple more things real quick. There's a brochure back there that tells what Direct Line is all about and what we do, and that kind of helps you out. We help missionaries. We help independent Baptist missionaries, and of course they line up doctrinally with what you would line up with as far as the version of the Bible they use and soul winning. We're not Calvinists and all that stuff, so we do that. Also, I wanted to mention to you, there's a prayer card there. If you'd like to pick that up and put it wherever you can think about us and pray about us, if you pray about the ministry there, if you would, please. If you'd like to get involved with Direct Line, let me know. And, of course, we always talk to Pastor about folks that like to get involved. And so if that's something you're interested in, it'd be an honor to have you come down and check things out and see what's going on there. So the Lord is working, and I just thank the Lord for it. I'm just glad to be a part of what he's doing. And it's just a thrill. And when you know you're in God's will, it settles everything else. And the burdens and battles come, but you say, no, I'm in the will of God. I'm right where I need to be, and it settles everything. Are you in the will of God? Do you know God's will for your life? It settles everything. It really does. And I'm thanking God for it. You got your Bible there? Let's stand and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1, would you please, this evening? Acts chapter 1. And let's stand if you're able to, and we're going to read a few verses here. Acts chapter 1. And I want to read this to you, and then we're going to look at a couple things here in this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 1. And I want you to pray with me that the Lord will speak through this message this evening as we look in Acts chapter 1. And Then maybe we'll go to the book of Luke here in just a moment. I won't be long, I promise you that. I'm praying that the Lord will speak to us as we hear His word tonight. I appreciate you being here tonight. It's an honor to stand in this pulpit. So thank you, Pastor. I truly mean that. I appreciate it very, very much. If you found the book of Acts and you're in chapter 1, would you say amen? Amen. Notice the Bible says, beginning in verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou that this time restore again the kingdom of Israel, or kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went, behold, He went up, behold, two men stood by Him in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. That's 2/3 of a mile, 200 cubits. And when they were come in, they went up into a upper room, and where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simeon, or Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with His brethren. I want you to notice, if you would please, this question that's rhetorical, found in verse number 11, where the Word of God says, the angels say, why stand ye gazing into heaven? Would you say that with me? Why stand ye gazing into heaven? With the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I want to speak to you on this question, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I want to answer the question, why they were gazing into heaven. Can we pray together? Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the testimony of this good church. I thank You for Pastor Herdman and his family and all that You're doing through them. I thank You for the folks that are here tonight, and some, many unfamiliar, but Lord Jesus, we thank You that You're the great common denominator, that when we know Jesus, we have a great big family, and we thank God for it. And tonight, I pray that You'd speak through me. You know exactly the details of my life, and You know the details of every person here and what we need and what we don't need. So God, speak to me. Help me. Do what I cannot do. Speak to hearts for the next few moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It had been just 40 days since the horrible events of Calvary had taken place. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered His Calvary experience for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Sadly, as we look at Calvary, we see that many of the disciples left Him. John stayed around. Some of the ladies stayed around. But the other disciples abandoned Him. But when they abandoned Him, He did not abandon them. And the Bible tells us here now, He's called them and He's working with them for 40 days. He's telling them about the kingdom and what God is doing and what they're supposed to do. And then He says, I want you to wait. There's a promise that I'm going to give. And I want you to wait. In verse number 4, He said, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. And for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Well, the day came when the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives would begin to ascend up into heaven, and 10 feet and 15 feet and 20 feet and 30 feet and on up into the clouds. The Lord Jesus ascends out of their sight, and they stand there and riveted at what they're seeing as their Savior, the one who they'd given themselves to for 3.5 years, the one who they'd seen open up blinded eyes, the one that they'd seen feed the multitudes, the one that they'd seen stop funeral processions and heal the sick and the lame and do many miracles, that one that they'd loved, and they listened to Him teach, and they had been changed because of Him and how He restored them after they had abandoned Him after Calvary. That's the one that they see ascending up into heaven. I say to you, why they were gazing into heaven is because that's the one they love. Thomas could have said something like this: I'll tell you why I'm gazing at him. He's the one that loved me when I said I don't believe him. Unless I see the scars in his hands and in his side, I will not believe. That's the one who came to me and said, Thomas, be not faithless, but believe. That's the one ascending into heaven. Matthew could have said something like this: he's the one that came to me when I was a tax collector and nobody loved me, and I was stealing from my own country, giving to the Roman Empire, and I had no purpose. Oh, I had money and I had things, but I didn't have happiness. And he came and said, I want you to put all that down and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And Matthew's life was changed forever because Jesus met him there. And I want to tell you that Matthew could have said, that's the one who gave me reason to live. Simon Zelotes could have said something like this: before I met him, I wanted to kill every Roman. I was ready to dispatch every Roman official that I could ever get my hands upon. He wanted to kill every Roman soldier and citizen out of Jerusalem, zealous for his country. And Jesus came along and changed him and said, that's not the real purpose of life. The real purpose of life is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and take up your cross and to follow him. And Simon Zelotes could have said something like this: he gave me the real purpose in life. He gave me the real reason to live. There he goes. That's the one. That's why I'm gazing into heaven. It could have been James that would have said something like this. He could have said, well, I met him and he stopped by the boat one day when my daddy was there and my brother was there, and he began to speak to us and he called us out of the boat to follow him. And the sons of Zebedee leave the boat and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could have said, he gave me reason beyond the boat, beyond the family business, beyond what I knew in this life would bring me what I thought would at least be some kind of contentment. It's all gone because I met Jesus Christ. He's my new hope. He's my new reason for living. He's my new purpose. It could have been that John, why stand you gazing up into heaven? It's because he's the one that loved me. Remember, he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was the one that laid his head on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ and heard the very heartbeat of Jesus Christ the last night that he would live upon the earth as far as before Calvary's concerned. And he's the one that was close, Peter, James, and John, being close and being intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can see with tears in his eyes as he gazed up into heaven, as he watched Jesus Christ riveted at what he sees as the Son of God ascends. It could have been that Peter, of all disciples standing there, he could have said, there goes the one that I betrayed. There goes the one that I, the night when he needed me the most, in the moment of crisis, when I should have stood up for him, and instead I said, I don't know him. And I didn't just say it once, I said it twice. And then the third time, I don't even know him. And it could have been that Peter, when he was restored, aren't you glad God restores? Say amen. I mean, the Bible says that the angel came and said to those disciples, I want you to go tell his disciples and Peter that Jesus is risen. I'm glad for those two words, and Peter, aren't you? I'm glad that Jesus Christ comes and he restores. And you may be here tonight and you may think that your life is beyond reach. You may think that you've stumbled into this place thinking there is no hope for me. There is no help for me. Listen to me, in the last two weeks, I've heard of two people that have committed suicide, call themselves Christians. They said there was no hope for them. Let me tell you something. I don't know what they were thinking about, and my heart breaks for them. And one of them was a pastor's wife, and my heart goes out to that family, and I don't know what was going on. But I know this, my dear friend, if that's something on your thoughts, I beg you tonight, look unto Jesus. He wants to help you. He wants to give you strength. He wants you to turn your heart to him. It's not worth that selfish decision to give yourself up to suicide, my friend. Jesus can give you hope. I say to you, Peter could have said, that's my Savior who stopped and said, Simon, do you love me?
and I want you to feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And he sort of reinstated me into the ministry. Peter, you don't know it. We know it because we know the Bible. But Peter, you don't know it. But in just a few days, you're going to stand at Pentecost and you're going to preach and 3,000 people are going to be saved and the Spirit of God is going to pour out upon that place. And many people will come to Christ if you take your finger and put it on Jerusalem. And every country that's mentioned and nation that's mentioned, it is a 1,500-mile radius all around Jerusalem. And Peter was the one who preached the word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. And those people got saved at Pentecost, 3,000 of them. And what was launched was something that has changed the entire world. No wonder they were gazing up there. No wonder they looked up and they saw their Savior. But the angels said, why? Why are you gazing into heaven? So I have to turn this around just a little bit. I know why they were gazing up into heaven. You remember when you first got married or you saw that one that you thought that you were going to marry? Hello? Don't go to sleep yet. It's only 7:45. You remember how you gazed at each other? Now you can't. How you still gaze at each other? Oh, now you're laughing, huh? Yeah. You remember how it used to be when you'd stare at each other and you'd the googly eyes and she's so beautiful. Oh, he's so handsome and et cetera, et cetera. I've never personally met a handsome guy. But anyway, the point is this, except for one, but you can figure that out later. But what I'm trying to say, my friends, is this, that you gazed because you were intently amazed. You're in love. But now there's something that has to happen. You see, Jesus isn't there anymore. Oh, he's going to be there in the person of the Holy Spirit. I know that. And the Holy Spirit is coming. In John 14, 15, and 16, he tells us over and over that the Comforter is coming and he will live with us. And how many are glad that when you get saved, you become the temple of the Holy Ghost and he lives inside of you? Amen? Aren't you glad you're never alone? There's always that other one with you. Somebody who loves you and cares for you. I'm grateful for that. And God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and God the Son, co-equal, co-existent. And I thank God for that wonderful truth. But the disciples are standing there staring, and the angels have to say, hold on a minute, fellas. You can't live gazing up there forever. Something has to change. Because the truth of the matter is, you've got to go back down to Jerusalem. You've got to live on the earth. He's gone. Yes, the Holy Spirit's coming. Don't misunderstand me. But Jesus and his ministry on earth was finished. I know he's going to heaven. He's going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father. He'll be our intercessor. He'll be our advocate. Amen. He'll be the one that stands there and says, yes, I know those rascals did what they did, but they've been blood bought, and they've been bought by the precious price of my blood, and they're my children, and they're your children, God. Aren't you glad we have an advocate with the Father? But that's where he's at. They've got to go back into Jerusalem. Stay with me now. They've got to go back into Jerusalem. And I want you to think about this, my friends. They've got to go back to reality. They've got to go back to the grind. They've got to go back to the fear that those men who hated Christ may come after them very soon. Perhaps they think that they're on the Jerusalem's top 10 most wanted. And they think to themselves, we're not going to be able to make it. We find them in an upper room waiting and praying. But I want you to think with me, friends, just for a moment. They have to go back. I want to tell you why they need to go back. Here's why they need to go back. They need to go back because somebody in the world needs to hear the message of the gospel. Somebody needs to hear that Jesus loved them and died for them and was buried and rose again. Somebody needs to tell them. And the Bible said, Jesus said, listen to me. It's not time for you to figure out the eschatology of things. It's not time for you to know when Jesus is coming. That's not the point. Here's what he's teaching. He's saying, look, you go back and be a witness. My friend, we live in a day and age where we watch the news and we think Israel's in trouble. Jesus is coming, the kingdom and all this kind of thing. And everybody gets all nervous about it. Let me tell you the next prophetical event on God's calendar is a rapture of the church, my friend. And so I'm not looking for another war over there. They can fight all they want. Jesus is still coming again. And he's going to set up his kingdom, and all that he said he's going to do is going to take place after the tribulation. And I'm just trying to tell you, my dear friend, okay, so it's just like this. We come to church, and on Sunday morning, we get excited, and we hear the good songs, and we go home saying, yes, it's true. The longer I serve him, the sweeter it grows. And tell me the story of Jesus, and you're encouraged by the choir, and you're encouraged by the preaching, and you're encouraged by the Sunday school lesson, and you're encouraged by the fellowship and all that goes on, but you've got to go to work on Monday. It's good to be up on the mountaintop and see Jesus in all of his glory on Sunday, but you've got to live it on Monday. That's the point. Why are you standing here gazing? My friend, what we learn on Sunday, we're supposed to take into Monday. Now, I know it's a little bit of ear, but when I bend it, you should say amen. Let's try that. Thank you, three of you. God bless you. You see, what happens is people get the idea that church is just for church. It's not for Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. My dear friend, church ought to be the icing on the cake. We ought to be in God's word and praying and walking with God in the morning. And so that when and the afternoon comes or that job comes or dealing with the children come, I'm trying to tell you, my friend, that we ought to be ready to go. And we can't just gaze at what we've seen. We've got to go do something about it. Notice the Bible says here, you're going to receive power. Man, I'm glad we receive power. This is a dynamic ability that God gives to us to be a witness. It's interesting that the word witness has the idea of a martyr. Now listen to me, my friend. You may be called to be a martyr, but I would say in America, most of us will never, probably all of us in this room will not experience that. God may not call us to live a martyr's death, but he may call us to live a martyr's life. To die to self. It may take something like some tragedy to get our attention. But God wants to work in you to show you that his power is greater than your power. And he wants to do something mighty and wonderful through your life. And he says, I'm willing to give you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. Not only that, but he says to live in the promise. You go back. Live in his power and live in the promise, ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall receive power. How many know God keeps his word? Every word from the beginning to the end, God keeps his word. Every word of God is true. He's a shield on them to put their trust in him. God's word can be trusted. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. I will hide his words in my heart that I might not sin against God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank God for the word of God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm saying to you, God gave them a promise, and you can't go up on the mountain and forever, you've got to come back down. And now you've got to live in that power, and you've got to live in his promises. But I want you to see something here. The Bible says, in all Judea and Samaria, and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And Jerusalem was pretty easy. That's where they were standing. And Judea, that would be a little further out. And notice, if you would please, he uses Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. You know, Christ had a love for Samaria. You remember the Samaritan woman at the well? He went to her, and he said, if you knew who you were asking for water from, you'd ask me for water. And he said he was the living water. And you remember how she went to the city and said, come see a man who has told me all things. Is not this the Christ? He had a love for Samaria. Great revival took place. But Samaritans were hated by the Jews. And say they were considered what half Jew and half Gentile. It was the Assyrians that had placed those Gentiles in that part of the world many years before. And they had intermingled with the Jews. And now they're a half Jew and a half Gentile. And they worshipped a different God completely all together. And we know that during this time they hated each other. And I want you to hear this. The Jews were racist and prejudiced against them. And let me say this to you. The Lord Jesus Christ breaks down every barrier. You listen to me, my friend. You cannot be the Christian God wants you to be unless you say, for God so loved the world. Every soul needs a Savior. Even the ones that we're against. I'm not for what's going on the border. And I'm not for what's going on in the Middle East. And I'm not for what's going on in the Ukraine. And I'm not for this and that and the other. And you probably, maybe most of us would agree that there's lots of problems. But let me tell you something. Every soul that we see on the television, Christ died for. Every one of them. Everyone. What are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Adrian Rogers is a great Southern Baptist preacher. I'm not Southern Baptist. I'm independent, so don't be mad at me. He told this story about a lady that called him. And he said to her, she said to him, in frantic, he knew her, a good member of the church. She cried, Pastor, Pastor, my daddy's in hell. My daddy's in hell. He said, hold on, what are you talking about? What do you mean your daddy's in hell? My daddy died today. He's in hell. And Adrian Rogers said, no, he's not. She said, you don't understand. He's in hell. I know he's in hell. And Adrian Rogers said, listen, he's not in hell. He said, last Thursday, God woke me up and I had a burden and his name came to my mind. He said, I went to his house, Adrian Rogers. He said, I got in a car and went to his house. I sat down with the man laying in a bed. He said, I opened my little Bible and showed him how to be saved. And your daddy trusted Christ as his Savior. And then he said this, did you ever tell him? And there was silence on the other end. See, she could come to church and hear the good singing and she could gaze at Jesus at church. Oh, let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And I'm for that. Oh, let us give God the glory and raise our hands. And I'm for that. And let's all shout and say glory to God and hallelujah. And I'm for it. And let's run around. I'm not sure if I'm for that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that know how to do something on Sunday in church because they've seen people do it. But when it comes to really living the Christian life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it just makes you wonder, are you just gazing? And Jesus said, that's not what I want anymore. You've got to go back and be filled with the power of God and be a witness for me. Yesterday, we have church on Tuesdays because we're weird. Yesterday, we had church on Tuesday. And that makes no sense, does it? You know, Tuesday was Tuesday? I'm pretty smart. And you don't get me, and that's okay. You'll get it later. So there was a girl that's been coming, a young lady. She sat back right about over here. Her name's Mackenzie. A sweet little girl. My son had invited her. She's probably 22, 23 years of age, whatever. She's old enough to be my daughter. She's been sitting over here. She's even brought a couple family members over the last couple months. And she carried a Bible, and she carried a notebook. She took notes. I assumed she was saved. And my wife said, hey, I heard Mackenzie can make some cupcakes, and we've got a preacher's fellowship next week. And I said, my wife said, we need to make cupcakes, very nice, special cupcakes for these guys, whatever. I said, you're the boss. And so I went over to Mackenzie. I said, my wife came over. I said, hey, we heard a rumor about you. We heard that you make cupcakes. And she said, yeah. She said, I make cupcakes. And my wife said, I heard they're pretty professional. She said, well, yeah, I do a pretty good job with them. And she's talking about it a little bit. And something prompted me. And I said, Mackenzie, let me ask you a question. I said, Mackenzie, are you saved? She'd been coming to our church for several months. Carrying a Bible, taking notes, singing with us. Mackenzie, are you saved? And she said, no, but I've been wanting to talk to you about that. And then she blew my mind, excuse the expression. She pulled out her phone and she said, I was going to text you. And she showed me the text that she was going to say, hey, Pastor, I want to talk to you about how to get saved. She said, I was too afraid to send it, but it's right here. My wife's standing there. She showed it to us. I said, sit down. I opened up my Bible and I showed her from God's word how she can be saved. And that Mackenzie bowed her head and asked Jesus Christ to forgive her sin and be her Savior right there on the pew.
Did you know people can get saved? It doesn't even have to be altar call time. She's supposed to get baptized Sunday. She texted me and she said, I can't wait to work with your wife about these cupcakes. And my mom's coming. I'm going to get baptized on Sunday. And I'm excited to be able to. I hope she does it so she doesn't ruin my story. I'm just simply trying to say that she came to church and gazing up into heaven and still missing the whole point. If you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your Savior, please stop playing the game. Do you realize you're a heartbeat away from going to hell if you're not saved? May I remind you of something? The angel said, why stand you gazing? Let me tell you one more thing. It's 7:59. That's not the other thing I want to tell you. I have to say this. And you have to forgive me. God called me to do what I'm doing. God gave me a pastor's heart. And I've seen this. And Pastor, you've seen it too. And I'm winding all this up. So just hear me now. There's some of you in this room who've gone through great tragedy. You've been mishandled, mistreated. You lost a loved one. Something has happened. And you've spent years gazing at something that's not there anymore. Now, don't misunderstand me. We love their memory and we appreciate what was. And we go back and sometimes we weep. We sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. And we go back and we reminisce and we go back in our memory and remember how wonderful it is. But why are you gazing at something that's gone? You've got more life to live. God left you here on purpose. You have a reason to be here. I know it hurts and I know you're brokenhearted and I know it's deep and you might even think, preacher, you have no right to talk like that. And I may even agree with you. But God prompted me, when I put this thought together, God prompted me to say, tell somebody, I still love them, but they have more life to live. They've got to get up and go on. When Moses died, they mourned for him for 40 days, and then they had to get up and go on. And I wonder how many of them said, boy, I sure wish Moses was here. But God didn't want Moses there anymore. God wanted Moses with him. And God wanted Joshua to take the children of Israel into the land of promise. I can't do this anymore because they're not here anymore. Well, maybe God's given you the strength if you'll learn to trust Him. My dad died when I was 10 years of age. He died of a brain tumor. There's a man at our church that has struggled with that, and I'm praying for him because I know what he's going through. I was just a little boy when he died, and my mother basically raised us kind of a rough area, a ghetto area. She did the best she could, I guess. And I loved her dearly. I know this might sound strange, but I thought my mother was the most beautiful lady I'd ever met. I loved my mother. Every year, before she died in September this year. Every year, I would text her, and I would say, during Father's Day, I would text her and say, Happy Father's Day. And she'd text me back and say, what's wrong with you? You know I'm not your dad. And I said, but Mom, you had to be Mom and Dad to me. Thank you. In September, she died. She had her appendix burst, and they thought they'd fixed everything, but everything went wrong, and she died. Beautiful singer, you should hear. Preacher was talking about, she didn't need a mic. She could just sing. Beautiful. She sang like the old folk used to sing, not like people like now that feels like when they sing, it sounds like something's wrong with them. You know what I'm talking about? I think it's a Wednesday night. You can handle that. But she sang, and man, she'd fill the room up. And I was at a preacher's fellowship, and my sister said, if you want to talk to your mom, and I'd seen her 2 weeks before. I couldn't get back up there. She said, if you want to see her, you need to talk to her now. And they put the phone there. And I talked to her and told her I loved her and told her she was a beautiful lady. I wish I could hear her sing one more time. My sister said, Tom, my sister said, Dr. Green, they want you to do the funeral. And I said, I'd be honored to do that. I did my mother's funeral.
I ask God for special grace to stand in front of my mother's body and give the message. I talked about Paul singing in midnight in trials, but he kept singing. That was my mom's life. Just keep on singing. God will give you a song. Well, here's the point I want to make. The next Sunday, I had to get up and go preach. The next week, I had to go soul winning. The next Wednesday night, I had to go to church. You have to keep living. You have to keep going. And I miss her. Some of you in this room have dealt with loss like this. And God is teaching us, please listen. Yes, it's okay to reminisce. But why stand you gazing when there's more to do down here? It's time to move forward. I don't know who that was for tonight. And honestly, this wasn't the message I was going to preach. If you looked at my notes right now, you'd find out I brought Occupy Till I Come. I brought the wrong message. But maybe I brought the right one. Because maybe someone in this room needs to say, okay, I'll get up. I'll go another day. Why stand you gazing? I'll tell you why we gaze, because we love him, amen? But he said, all right, come down. Let's go live what you saw up on the mountain. Father, thank you for your word. Lead us and guide us, I do pray. I pray that you would speak to every heart. Thank you for an opportunity to open up the word of God. What a precious book. I'm sure in this room tonight, God, there are people that are living in the past. And God, I pray that tonight we'd appreciate the past. We'd appreciate the memories. But God, we've got to move forward. And there's some brokenhearted person in this room who just can't get over it. And tonight I pray you'd wrap your loving arms around them and tell them it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Oh, God, do that for us. Maybe there's someone here tonight that's been playing church for a little while. And like my dear friend, little Mackenzie, they've been playing, they've been gazing, but they've never been born again. I pray tonight they trust you as Savior. And one more thing, Lord, I pray that we would live what we hear and see, and as we stand in awe, as we worship corporately as a church, I pray that we would live all of that experience on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'd live what we're gazing at. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment. I'll turn the message over to preacher in just a moment. How many say with an uplifted hand, preacher, if I died tonight, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you lift your hand, hold it high? I've done what the Bible says to be saved. Isn't it good to be saved? Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, preacher, I've never been born again. I don't know Christ. I want to be saved. Would you pray for me? I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. I don't even know your name, but I want to pray for you. Would you say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm born again. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Just slip your hand up and put it back down just so I can see it and pray for you. God bless you, sir. Is there someone else? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Here's what I would do if I were you. Dear friend, and wherever you're at, I'm not going to embarrass you. You have my word. In just a moment, when the piano starts to play, I'd slip out of my seat and come sit on this front row and let someone take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Now, here's what the devil's going to say. The devil's going to say something like this. What people think about me if I go forward? Here's what they'll think. They'll think, praise the Lord. That's what they'll think. Y'all do that tonight. I'd do it now. I wouldn't wait. I'd get it settled tonight. If I knew what hell was really like, I'd run to this altar. I'd run. I'd say, I need to be born again. If you're here tonight and you'd say, preacher, there's something in my past and I've got to move forward. And it's not that I don't love the people in the past or not that I don't care for them, but I've got to move forward so I can glorify God in my life. I've been stuck. Pray for me, preacher. You'd lift your hand, hold it high. Pray for me, preacher. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know what you ought to do? You ought to find a place here and just pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me to surrender my heart to you. And one more thing, real quick. You're here tonight as the message was given. You say, you know, I've been playing around a little bit. I'm just here, you know, the good old boy thing. But I know in my heart there's a power that I need. I'm saved, but I need that power in my life. And I need to be that witness God's called me to be. And God is prompting me tonight. I need to do more for him. Would you lift your hand, hold it high? Pray for me, preacher. God bless you. Yeah, many hands. Oh, let's do business with the Lord tonight. Father, let thy will be done in Christ's name. Amen. Preacher, thank you.
If you're able to stand together with us, just give folks a chance to get out. If you're here and you need to pray, I invite you to come. I'm standing down here at the front. Be glad to pray with you. If you're here tonight and you need to be born again, need to be saved, maybe you don't know all the terminology that's immaterial, but you know you need Jesus Christ, would you step out and come? Let me or someone take a Bible and show you how you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. Anyone at all, step out and come. Maybe there's some other need. There's many on this altar already. You want to come and join them. Are you gazing or are you going? Is what I thought about as he was preaching. We need to get going. Oh, it's fun to sit around the table, fellowship, and have a good time. Gaze upon the good things. We need to get going. Maybe you make that commitment tonight. Lord, I love to be around you. I want to keep on doing that, but I'm going to have to get to the work. As they play, would you come? May that message settle in our hearts and leave us with that thought. Are we gazing? You may look this way. Thank you, Brother Green, for being here. What a joy to have you with us. And thank you for preaching what the Lord led you to preach. And I believe that he was in all of the things that went on tonight. And we're grateful for you being our way. I'm going to ask him to slip on out to the lobby and he'll be by the table there. Maybe you'd like to know some information about the Direct Line Ministry, maybe the Joy Bags. I'd love for everybody to just take some information and be thinking about how you can get involved in that. It'd be a blessing to different folks and we'll certainly enjoy getting to speak with him. Well, we have great news tonight. Miss Tiffany Rowe right over here. Tiffany, we wave at us. She's right here behind Maddie and Amy. And she has been coming for some good long time, but we thank the Lord for her. She's saved and baptized and wants to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and she's a great blessing to my family and Maddie, and we're thankful for her being here. So we would need a motion to receive her into membership. Brother Jeff Roten up there makes a motion. We would just need somebody to second that. All right, Brother Larry Stover seconds that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Praise the Lord for that. Brother Danny, why don't you come on? We'll call this business meeting to order. He's got one more item that we failed to get to the last time we voted on a few things. Get you a microphone.